Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Brothers and sisters, you know when you are told to speak before iftar, one of the questions in your mind is, you know how George W. Bush used to ask the Muslims, are you with me or are you with the terrorists? When you stand up to speak sometimes before iftar, you're wondering to yourself as a speaker, are these people with me? Or are their stomachs, you know? But inshallah, I can see the attention from your faces. I can see the, you know, alhamdulillah, the nur from Slough, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in a very blessed month. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have to follow on from Abu Luqman's talk. And his talk, he talked about victory. He talked about a vision. And as he said, towards the end, somebody can simply say, brothers, you guys, you talk big, man. You talk big, victory, vision. But he brought many examples, not only from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and victory in the Battle of Badr, in Ramadan. He brought from Ayn Jalut. They were not Sahaba. They were not the chosen generation. They were Muslims. But Allah granted them victory in this month. And many, many other battles in our history where in this month Muslims, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, achieved such great victories and conquests and took Islam to amazing places that today, centuries later, we talk about these people till now. And this is what we want to rekindle, we want to find ourselves. And you know, thinking about this talk, a question came to my mind. What was the difference between their Ramadan and our Ramadan? What's the difference? I'll raise this as an open question. Did the Muslims who were granted all those victories, did they see the same moon to start Ramadan? Was it the same moon that we see? Same moon? Yes, same moon, okay. Were the months in their times, were they 29 or 30 days? And for us, is the month of Ramadan also 29 or 30 days? Same. Were they human beings? Were they human beings? I have eyes with which to see you, ears with which to hear you. Did they have eyes and ears like us? So if you think about it, really there was no difference between us and them. There was no difference. Physically, the same month, the same blessing, the same Quran that we have. So really we want to try and identify what was it about them that enabled them to act in a certain way and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them victory. And you know, to answer this question, I saw a picture on Facebook. I'm going to put my hand up. I'm on Facebook, yeah? Who's on Facebook here, brothers and sisters? The hands didn't really go up like mine. Look, there's a lot of dirty stuff on Facebook, but there can also be some good stuff. You know when you log on to Facebook and you get your friend's feed comes down? There's a picture I saw before Ramadan. I saw it a few times. And the picture, yeah, there's like two men. It's two people side by side. Two pictures side by side. And in one picture, there's like, it's like a mujahid. Like the people that Reza was talking about. A mujahid in the Islamic period. You know, maybe he's like in his armor. You can see this man is going for jihad, fi sabilillah. Next to him, there's another guy He's also going after something. Has anybody seen that picture? Do you know what the second guy is going after? Food! So they said, Ramadan before, Mujahid, Jihad, Muslims striving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Achieving amazing things by Allah's mercy. And that now, some of us, not all of us, Ramadan is about, what am I going to get? This picture sums up. It starts to explain some of the differences between our Ramadan and their Ramadan. And maybe I'll give some examples to do with, you know, myself, other people that we can relate to try to understand what's the difference between then and now. Reza started his talk by saying, for some people, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all they will get out of the days of fasting is hunger and thirst. So what is our objective? What is it some people want to get out of Ramadan? For some of the youth, Ramadan is about chilling. You go to the masjid, you see them at the back. If I go to my local mall, sometimes they're not even at the back, they're outside. It's a time to meet up with their mates and, you know, chat and, you know, while away the night. Maybe there's a shisha bar locally. You say, look, man, I've been fasting all day, man. It's very hard. You know, long day, I know that you don't give all these long stories, yeah? I see if nobody's ever fasted in the world. But, you know, man, it's really rough. So, nighttime, shisha. So, for some of these people, Ramadan, for some of our youth, it's just about chilling. It's just about relaxing. Daytime, they think to themselves, what are you trying to achieve in the daytime in Ramadan? Think to yourself, you know what, you know, it's a long day, bro. All right, what am I going to do? I need to kill the hours. Yeah. How many movies can I watch before Maghrib? See, your average film, yeah, nowadays, maybe a big blockbuster is, 120 minutes, maybe a shorter film. So he does this calculation. So if I get in 2 or 3 films, if you add some TV programs, bingo, it's Maghrib. I don't feel it so much. For some of our youth, sadly to say, this is Ramadan. For some of our families, I'm not going to be unfair, yeah? I don't think always the sisters put this on themselves. Sometimes they do. Sometimes it's us who put it on them. For some of the Muslim families, Ramadan, when you say as a family, when you sit down, what are you trying to get out of Ramadan? What comes to people's mind is, what are we going to have for iftar? What is that special meal that we're going to have at iftar time? So the women are slaving out right in the kitchen, cooking the best things. Where's the family going to go? Which restaurant are we going to go to? Ramadan is about, what do people remember? What do the kids remember? We had some beautiful iftars. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't have a nice iftar. I'm not saying when you invite your friend, following the sunnah of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not saying you give your guest bread and salt. It's Ramadan. You have to be hospitable. You cook the best meal that you can, because this is the attitude of a Muslim. But that having a best meal becomes every day of Ramadan, what's this? So for some people, Ramadan is about the eating. For some of the workers, some of the professionals, especially this month, Ramadan is just about, I just got to get through it, bro. Taraweeh, I finish at midnight. I got to get sleep. I got a 9 o'clock meeting at work in Houston. I got to catch the train at 7 something for Slough. It's just, look, I just got to get through this Ramadan. So Ramadan is just one blur. It's just wake up, work, and brothers, sisters, in those kind of jobs, don't get me wrong, it's not easy. But if at the end of 30, 29 days, all we had was just a blur, this month was just a blur, it just went like that. If possible, try and take some days off. Get something from the month. Change your schedule. It's not easy, but you gotta try. Because this comes once a year. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. This month comes only once a year. And if you think about it, from all the scenarios I'm describing, to sum up, what makes their Ramadans, the Ramadans of victories, the Ramadan of striving, and what makes some of our Ramadans different, it really comes down to something. I'll give you one final example before I move on. Because for some people, they don't fit all these things I've just described. They're not just about the food. For them, Ramadan is about, I've got to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to get close to the Quran. So when you say, what's your goal, sister? What's your goal, brother? I want to finish the Quran in Ramadan, the whole of the book. A to Z, I want to finish the whole thing in this Ramadan. Very good. I want to make sure I pray all my Taraweeh. Excellent. This is good. But think about it. This book, Unzila fihi al-Quran, was it revealed just to be recited? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this from the heavens only to be recited? Is that all? Of course not. So if our target is only to finish the recitation of it, if getting closer, in my mind, means only to recite and recite and recite, where is the effect of this in the life after Ramadan? What is the effect of this in the life of the Ummah after Ramadan? In our countries, this book will be recited in the most beautiful way. In Islamabad, in Karachi, in Lahore, in Lagos, in Cairo. All over the Muslim world, it will be recited in the most beautiful way. The Qaris will beautify their voices. They will beautify this Quran with their voices. But when you step outside, the verses that talk about how we should rule, how we should buy, what values we should have, how we should be, Hudan linnas, take this huda to mankind. It's nowhere to be seen. Therefore, if all we think Ramadan is about is just reading it, then again we've missed out. Brothers, the difference, sisters, brothers, between them and us is really, this is this. But it is about how they understood and how they approached this. That's what it's about. How did they understand their relationship with this Quran? How did they understand their duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the difference. That is what it is we need to get to grips with. It's really about thinking about our duty. So when we talk about closeness to the Quran, I would suggest to you, humbly, that Ramadan is a time for me, for you, for us to sit down, to recite the Quran in the most beautiful way that we can. But then to go further than that, to reflect upon the Quran, to reflect, to think, what is Allah saying to Taji? What is the duty of Taji? What's my duty to my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's my duty to my deen? What does the Quran say? Each person should think of that. And when you think of that, then to make an adjustment. If Allah says I should do this and I'm not doing this, I need to change my life. Brothers, sisters, every page of this book invites us, commands us, asks us to do, not to do, to say, not to say, to go, not to go, to strive, not to strive. It calls us to action in every area of life, and really in three areas. Our duty to Islam, let us sum it up. Number one, in this book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses, addresses you and I. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He created me and you to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. To abide by the rule, the orders, the injunctions, the commandments. So when He says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ We understood we have to fast and we fast the month of Ramadan. There is a lot that applies to the individual to live his life, his day, his hours, according to the orders from this book. So this is a very clear issue that we understand. This is one way of reconnecting with our duty. We need to check, are we fulfilling my duties or not? Am I fulfilling my duties as an individual? As a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a son, as a daughter? This is the first area. But a lot of the time, we stop. We stop at this first step. We're not Christians, brothers. We're not Christians. What do I mean we're not Christians? Some knocked on my door. Was it yesterday morning? Some knocked on my door. It's a bit busy. I couldn't chat to them. Other times maybe, but I couldn't. When I say we're not Christians, this book did not only come to tell what Taji should do in his personal life. What Ahmed, what Zainab, what Farhan, what Musa. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in this Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ He addresses an ummah, a people, a community. And he says, it is your duty, not only that you as an individual, me as an individual, live by this deen, you invite other people to it. It's not good enough for a Muslim to say, I'm okay. my wife's okay, my kids are all right, my family's okay. But you live in a community in Slough, and how many of our kids are being taken onto the streets? How many of them are getting into wrong behavior? Getting sucked into the Western way of life? Being individualistic, disobeying their parents, not praying, not giving a damn about Islam, getting into trouble with the police. How many of our youth? How many of us in our dealings, in our buying, in our selling, are involved in things we shouldn't be involved in? How many of our relatives? How many of our friends? How many of our Muslim colleagues? So it's not good enough to say, I'm okay. When you look around you as a Muslim and you look at your community and you see problems with schooling, with madrasas, then it is upon us to take initiatives to make sure that the values of the Quran exist in our madrasas, exist in our youth, exist in our masajid, exist in our community. It is a duty to invite other Muslims to what we have tasted from this book. It is a duty to create an atmosphere where our community stands and lives by the guidance from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second aspect of our duty. Duty to yourself, number one, to abide by the Sharia in every area that concerns you. But number two, a duty to make sure you work with other Muslims, to make sure your community, wherever you live in the world, where there are other Muslims, that we collectively hold between us to what this book demands of us. But again, that's not enough. That's not enough. Yeah, we're okay in Slough. Yeah, okay, Slough's not the center of the world. It's not a bad place, don't get me wrong, yeah? It's not the center of the universe. There's the rest of the world. And let's go back to the ayah that talks about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, this book in this month. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. He revealed this book in this month. Why? هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْقُرْآنِ. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. And as Abu Luqman said, this book is not a guidance for Taji alone, for you alone, for Zainab alone, for Musa alone. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. This gives a vision to the Muslim. He says, it's not about you alone. It's not about your community. It's about the world. You want to see the world in a different way. Not only that, you want to strive, you want to work to make sure that the vision that you believe in, the vision Allah paints is what is established. What Allah forbids is what is forbidden. What Allah praises is what is praised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing us in Surah Ibrahim, كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور. That you, this ummah, this book was revealed, it gives us another angle. For you, these Muslims who believe in it, to take mankind from the ظلمات, from the darknesses, from capitalism, from individualism, from kufr, from shirk, to the nur of Islam. So that puts in our mind that we have a duty to the rest of mankind. We have a duty to the non-Muslims in this society. We have a duty to the world. When we start to think about our duty as Muslims on these three levels, it starts to make us think of many questions. Makes us think of, what is it I need to do? And the person who starts that process of, I need to do what Allah says, I need to strive what Allah strives, I need to work for Allah's deen, I need to work to establish it in the world. So there is a society, a state, a khilafah, somewhere in the world that implements this deen, and non-Muslims can look at it and say, damn, I want some of that. That looks good. That looks good. That Quranic society, I'd like some of that, please. I like the way they treat their elders. I like the way women are treated with dignity. I like the way people respect their elders and their parents. I like the way you don't have some corporate interest in bed with some government, skimming the people and scamming the people and putting on some Olympic games, spending 29 or whatever billion dollars for 2 weeks of a big light show. And after the show, there's still going to be unemployment. They're still going to be sending soldiers to invade other people. There's still going to be muggings on the streets of London. There's still going to be all the problems that exist. But they spent $29 billion. It was a good show, wasn't it? What do you guys think? Our world is upside down. And where are the Muslims? Instead, the Muslim countries are running. We want to be part of the Olympics, please. I want to be part of the Olympics. You know? They want the Muslim athletes to stand on the podium. You know that crying speech? You know the crying speech people give when they're on the podium? I want the gold medal. I like to thank my coach. The flag of my country raised so high. It's a great day for Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Egypt, Pakistan. This is we an ummah that Allah gave dignity with Quran, who an example to mankind. Now we run to other people and we want to be part of the show. It shows how much our world is upside down. So really, brothers and sisters, it's about reconnecting with our duty. Our duty to live by this deen, our duty to make sure our community lives by this deen. That requires work amongst us. And our duty to make sure that Muslims establish a society, a khilafah in the Muslim world that implements this deen as an example to mankind and can carry to the rest of mankind as a true guidance. That thinking requires some help on our part, all of us. And I want to leave you with, well, what does that mean? That means, I think, really some practical things we should do to get in touch with that. So that after Ramadan, we're in the path of getting closer to the Quran by being those who strive to follow the Quran in every sense of the word. Number one, that means we need to be people who join circles to understand this Quran. Join circles in Islam, wherever you are, join with us, with Muslims who are studying, discussing what is in this book. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, I can speak for myself many years ago. Some of these brothers in there, I see some old faces in this room who, you know, we go back a long way. I didn't understand it, man. I didn't understand it. And you know, this is a crime till today. When you say, brothers, we need to get close to the book of Allah, what comes into mind of many people is, we gotta recite. We gotta read. We gotta recite. So when I say joint circles, those circles try to take these verses, these injunctions, these surahs, these ayahs, so we understand what is Allah ordering us, what is He advising us, what is He telling us to do. Reciting and reciting and reciting will give you reward. Rasulullah said, for alif, lam, mim, you get a reward for each letter. So don't get me wrong, if you recite, you get reward. But to reduce this book, to squeeze it, just to recitation, so join circles. You want to leave Ramadan being somebody who is in an atmosphere where you're going to lectures, you're going to lectures and talks, studying this book for a purpose, to know what is our duty. Number two, when you learn what is your duty, when you learn what is our duty as a community, when you learn what is our duty as an ummah to establish a society that implements this book, number two, get involved. Do da'wah. Do da'wah. Huh? Don't say, you know, we're not Christians again. Me, myself, and I, I'm saved. I understand the book. I'll be going to some circles. I listen to this sheikh and this sheikh and that sister and that brother. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Oh, this is not Islam. Whatever you understand, you go home, you go to your family gatherings, you go to your neighbors, Muslims. You see how close or not they are to this book. You need to speak to them. Invite them to those circles. Give what you have learned so they taste from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they also start to get closer to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start to strive and work so we all continue to work together. Number three, really is to give da'wah all the means that you can. Because you know, we live in a small world now. A baby was born 20 minutes ago, maybe in a hospital in Lahore. Yeah, in Lahore. Somebody had a phone. They took a picture, they uploaded it from the phone onto Facebook. 20 minutes later, you're locked on in Slough, in Bradford, in Birmingham, in Chicago, in the other side of the world. And you can see the beautiful picture of a baby that was born in Lahore, your niece, your nephew. We are connected. So the same way we're connected to share good news, family news, or whatever else, this da'wah should not have boundaries. Make sure you convey to your relatives abroad so that they also become enthused and we together understand what is our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can be involved in it. Number four, for this deen to be implemented, it's not down to just individuals, it requires a state. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struggled for years and years and years in Makkah. He went to visit many tribes. He took many actions until finally, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he established a society in Medina. You know, if you want to sum up the Khilafah, you can say Al-Khilafah ikamatu deen wa tawheedul muslimin. The Khilafah establishes this deen. This book, this Quran, there are many verses of it. To bring justice. The woman who was unjustly treated by her husband, and she goes and she complains to the family, nobody listens. She complains to this or that person, nobody listens. Where is she going to get justice from? Who has authority, power to order that husband, you have to do this. And if you don't do it, we're going to deal with you. Who has that kind of power? Islam is not jungle justice. I don't have it. You don't have it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a system, a state, that there should be a khalifa, a ruler, who we appoint. We give him the bayah. He appoints the judge. She goes to the judge. The judge gives an order. There is a police. There's a whole state structure to enforce that order. This deen came to be implemented in the life of an ummah, and that is by having a state that establishes it. So in this da'wah, this closeness to the Qur'an means you have to come from the khilaf. Because it is what establishes the rules and laws, the solutions from the Qur'an in our lands. In Pakistan today you see the problems. In Bangladesh you see the problems. In Egypt, all across the Muslim world, you see issues and issues of poverty. Rulers who hate us and love the Western powers. Drone strikes attacking people. And a ruler is supposed to protect the people, but he says, I can't do nothing about it. And then he gives rights. He allows the same people attacking us to pass through our houses, our homes, our lands, to continue a war in Afghanistan. You see the rulers in Saudi Arabia, as brother was saying, they find new ways to spend money, to waste money. And we can go on and on about the problems. So part of our da'wah has to be a da'wah to call, to demand that in the Muslim lands, people work for the return of the Khilafah state. My final point, brothers, sisters, is for us to reconnect all of this back to Ramadan. Reza said at the end of his talk that, you know, we need to have this vision of being close to Islam, being close to Allah, understanding the Quran. This gives us a big vision. It lets us to work, to strive. And the people who did that before us, Allah Ta'ala saw their efforts and gave them victory. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see the efforts of this ummah inshallah and grant us victory as well. But how is all this striving for Islam, being close to the Quran, working to implement the rules, the values in your life, in the life of an ummah, in the life of this world, how is this connected to Ramadan? I remember many years ago I went to, my understanding of Islam was, I didn't have much of an understanding. But something stuck in my head. I think it was in Ramadan. And the Imam used the word. He talked about Ramadan and he talked about, you know, he used words like, it's a time to recharge. Or some people say, you know, it's like a boot camp. You know, the boot camp, people go to the military, there's civilians, you want to make them soldiers, you take them through some training. But when you think about recharging, we all recharge our phones. Yeah, it's a bit low on juice. You plug it in. Why do you recharge it for? Because you want to use it. You need it to serve a purpose. If it does not have charge, how is it going to serve that purpose? If the Muslim is not used, acclimatized, used to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to striving to do what Allah has ordered, to keep it away from Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to keep away from, if he's not used to this, if he's not used to having taqwa, and what is taqwa? Taqwa is you are ready to rush to obey Allah, to rush to keep away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To put a barrier, the scholars say, between you and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is going to be in this ready state, this prepared state of taqwa, ready to obey. Ya Allah, what do you say? What do you say, Ya Allah? What do you want us to do? Who is going to be this person? The one who he went through Ramadan. He had a plan, he had a vision. He read the Quran. He sought to strive more than usual to be closer to Allah, to obey Allah's orders. When he comes out of the other end of Ramadan, he's in a state where obeying Allah becomes the norm, becomes easy for him, becomes the only thing he wants to do. So when Allah says strive in this way, this way, this way, be a father, a good one, be a husband, be a mujahid, work for khilafah, all of these things he says, obey. I'm ready, Ya Allah, I'm ready. He doesn't have ifs and buts and maybes, I don't know. So Ramadan is a time for us to recharge, to reconnect with our duty as Muslims. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid myself and yourself to be those who read the book, who reflect upon it, and who seek to rule our lives, to rule the lives of our communities and our ummah, and to have this be a guidance for the whole of mankind. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.